Good morning.
Good morning.
I chose this particular version from The Good News, which is fairly new. I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you fall. Your protector is always awake. The protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. The Lord will guard you. He is by your side to protect you. The sun will not hurt you during the day, nor the moon during the night. The Lord will protect you from all danger. He will keep you safe. He will protect you as you come and go, now and forever.
So I think that many of you are familiar with cataracts, right? A dimming, a blurring of our vision due to a clouding of the lenses in our eyes. They're common, usually occur over a long period of time, slowly, so much so that people don't realize they have cataracts, so that their vision has dimmed at all. I remember my father-in-law a number of years ago, he had his cataracts done, and he told me afterwards, he said, I had no idea how terrible my vision was. I should have had done this a long time ago. There are physical cataracts in our eyes, and there are spiritual cataracts in the eyes of our heart. Life has a way of clouding us through disappointment, through illness, through depression, through addiction, through affluenza or poverty or broken relationships or political discourse or viruses or a million other reasons. They have a way of getting into us and clouding the eyes of our hearts. I have no doubt that there are people here today with cataracts that need attention. And I have no doubt at all that many of us, most of us, probably all of us, have some spiritual cataracts in the eyes of our hearts. So thank God for this Holy Lent, for this season leading up to Easter Sunday, where the church offers us traditions, tools, resources for us to rekindle, to reform, and to remove the cataracts from our heart eyes. As one tool this Lenten season, I offer to you this sermon series, which begins today, runs for 4 weeks, and it's a four-part dialogue between me and you, a particular scripture verse each week, this week Psalm 121, and a different painting each week from the permanent collection of the Shelburne Museum. A quick word of thanks to the Shelburne Museum for giving us permission to use the images associated with this series. So I am not an art historian or an expert in American fine art, but I like painting and I like scripture. And in my life, those have come together in some very powerful ways for me over the years. And so my hope is that through the next 4 weeks, that the Holy Spirit will join us on this journey, this collision of painting and word and Lent and us. Maybe some of our cataracts will be removed along the way. We'll be able to see again with new eyes. Let's pray. Amen. Psalm 121 was written a long time ago by someone really far away, but who, like any good Vermonter, had a habit of looking up to the mountains. I look to the hills, I look to the mountains, she wrote. I look to the mountains, she wrote, and then she wondered, where will my help come from? How many times have you stood here in the Champlain Valley with difficult decisions to make, with sadness in your heart, with some difficult challenges going on in your life? How many times have you stood here in the Champlain Valley and your eyes looked up to the greens or looked up to the Adirondacks and you wondered where your help would come from? Our psalm continues in verse 2. And not only does she ask the question, where will my help come from, but she offers an answer quickly, maybe a little too quickly. I lift my eyes to the mountains, where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth, she proclaims. With such steadfast faith, with such quick trust, with an exemplary faith that all of us could learn from. It's helpful to know that Psalm 121 has a prescript at the very beginning that titles it or names it, classifies it as a song of ascents. There are 15 of them right in a row, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, all referred to as the song of ascents. And scholars aren't 100% sure what that means, but there's general consensus that these were pilgrim songs that Jews would sing on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to the temple, which is on a temple mount. You had to ascend to get to it. So these are songs as faithful Jews went to Jerusalem to pray and to worship the Lord who made heaven and earth. So one way of reading this psalm is being written and sung by those with a rock-solid, steadfast, exemplary faith in God, with no doubt that God made heaven and earth, and that one would save them and rescue them and bring them the help they needed. My problem with that reading is I know way too many pilgrims. My problem with that reading is that I am a pilgrim on a journey to praise and to worship God, and I know, I really know that the kind of exemplary faith we read in Psalm 121 in my life is almost always aspirational. You see, it's not something that I have, it's something that I want to have. Maybe that's true for you too, when you look to the Greens or to the Adirondacks and you wonder where your help would come from. The answer that I want to give is that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. But the answer I almost always give is, where will my help come from? I don't know. The Lord who made the heaven and earth. I hope. I pray. I trust. I doubt. Maybe I'll just go eat chocolate cake. That'll make me feel better for a few moments. The spiritual house I live in is maybe like your spiritual house. And if you were to paint it and to put it into an artwork, it would fit very nicely into J. Hall Conaway's Winter's Blast. Conaway was born in 1893 in Indiana, a Midwesterner by birth, but he spent much of his life in New England, painting seascapes on Monhegan Island in Maine before moving to Vermont in 1947 to Dorset and to Paulet. This painting is identified as Winter's Blast, Paulet, and so that's on the New York border. And so my assumption until I talked to Bob Chutter this morning was that these were the Adirondacks, but he told me they might be the Taconics, is that right? So in any case, those mountains that loom in the background, and I know that that's not the brightest there. It's also printed on your bulletins if you want to get a crisper look, though smaller. But those mountains loom large in the background, and they loom over a series of humble Vermont buildings that lie along what to my eye looks like a frozen river. A simple winter composition with ice and snow and mountains and very Vermont-y buildings, and it's the kind of thing we see every single day this time of year, isn't it? So when you walk by it at the Shelburne Museum, we might be tempted to just walk right by it. We've seen that before. But of course, there's more to it than at first meets the eye. The question that I want to know about it is, where are the people? Right? There's very little indication of people at all. Maybe it's a cold winter's day, and so they're all inside. So, of course, they're not inside. There's no indication of what's happening except for a few details that inspire my curiosity. First, I look at the roof lines, right? And the roof line of the taupe building in the front there on the left is nice and straight and snow-covered. The rust-colored building behind it is a straight roof line as well, but that one in the middle, the stepped building in the middle of the composition, it has sort of a rickety roof line, doesn't it? And especially that far building on the right-hand side, that tip, that slant there, is more severe than just good artistic perspective would demand. It's a rickety roof line that tells the story of some disrepair, some decay, maybe some poverty, but definitely the story of rugged rural living in Vermont. So that draws me in, and it makes me wonder, why is it that Conway spends a great deal of time drawing that really nice chimney on the taupe building on the left-hand side in the front, and there is no smoke coming out of it? It's a winter's blast. It's a cold day, right? You think that there would be a fire in the fireplace, but there doesn't seem to be. It makes me wonder what's happening in this painting. Is no one home? Are these seasonal buildings? Is the wood stove broken? Is maybe there's not enough money to buy wood for the fireplace or the wood stove? Maybe there's some despair inside these buildings. Maybe some depression. Maybe even some death. Whatever's happening in this painting, there is an air of vulnerability, right? An aroma of people on the verge. The buildings are on the edge, to be sure, but the people inside as well, the people with no fires in their fireplaces, who may very well be overshadowed by the looming mountains, frozen by the frozen river, blown away by the winter's blast. Whatever this painting's about, it evokes within an image within the eyes of my heart that's this: that there's a Vermonter just like you and me in one or more of those buildings, sitting around a fireplace with no fire, looking up to the mountains, wondering where her or his help will come from, praying that the snow will keep off of that roof, or the roof will stay up for one more day, one more storm. God, in your mercy, just for one more season, please. Evokes the image in my mind of a Vermonter like you and me sitting around a fireplace with no fire, looking up at those hills, wondering where help will come from, and aspiring to have a kind of faith that really believes and really believes and really believes that that help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Paintings are never about paintings, and Scripture is never about Scripture. It's always about the viewer, always about the reader, always about us, and always about you. So, what does your spiritual house look like on this second Sunday in Lent? If you were to paint it, would it fit into Conway's composition? When you, whatever's happening in your life, the struggles, the challenges, the things that keep you away, that bring you anxiety, for those things in your life, when you look up to the hills and wonder where your help will come from, what's your answer? I mean, what's your real answer? Is it the answer of the faithful Jew 2,000 years ago with an exemplary and steadfast faith? Is it an aspirational answer, like mine so often is? Or is your answer to the question where your help will come from something else entirely? A conversation for you to have this week with yourself, with God, with Psalm 121, and with this painting. And my prayer is that as you have that conversation, that maybe, just maybe, you'll be unclouded a bit. Your cataracts might diminish a tad. And you might be able to see again God and yourselves and your neighbors with new eyes. May it be so in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world.